This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We belong to God, creator of all that is and all that is to come, abundant provider of the gifts of this life and the gifts in our own hearts. It is God alone who gives life, who is generous beyond measure with grace and blessing. We follow Christ, whom God sent to teach and heal, to show us a new way of living with love and trust and courage, with joy and generosity. In this faith, Jesus gave of himself, even his very life. He was crucified and buried, yet God raised him from death. And he lives among us and grants us to us. We live by that Holy Spirit and entrust ourselves to its guidance and empowerment. As members of the church, the body of Christ, we devote ourselves to lives of love, rejoicing in the power of forgiveness, the reality of resurrection, and the mystery of eternal life. Amen.
Our focus scripture this morning is, it's a lengthy one. It's from the Gospel according to John. This is a familiar one. It comes around every 3 years in the Revised Common Lectionary. It's also the longest conversation that Jesus has with anybody in the Gospels. Share it with you this morning and invite you to pay close attention to the story. It's a rather involved one. It has three different movements or different sections in it. Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came to Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with. And this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I will give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty and won't ever have to come back to this well again." Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and then come back." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put. I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship God neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people God is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before God in their worship. God is sheer being itself. Spirit. Those who worship God must do it out of their very beings, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story. I am he, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, Come and see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think he could be the Messiah? And they went out to see for themselves. In the meantime, the disciples pressed him. Rabbi, eat. Aren't you going to eat? Jesus said to them, I have food to eat you know nothing about. The disciples were puzzled. Who could have brought him food? Jesus said, The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work God started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in the grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester triumphant. That's the truth of the saying, this one sows, that one harvests. I sent you to harvest a field you never worked. Without lifting a finger, you have walked in on a field worked long and hard by others. Many Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him because of the woman's witness. He knew all about the things I did. He knows me inside and out. They asked Jesus to stay on, so he stayed 2 days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. They said to the woman, We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves and know it for sure. He's the Savior of the world. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Way back in ancient times, 1967 to be exact, a movie was released. Well, there were lots of movies released that year, of course, but this movie was one of the better known, the more popular at the box office movies, if I remember correctly. It starred Paul Newman. It was a prison drama. The title of the movie, and I just saw it recently on, I think it was Turner Classic Movies, was Cool Hand Luke. You remember Cool Hand Luke? There were several popular, well-known phrases that came out of that movie, but the one that sticks in my mind, and I think in most people's mind, is a phrase uttered by Strother Martin, who played one of the prison, I don't know if he was a warden, but he was in charge of the prisoners. And, Paul Newman was kind of he was a rebel. He didn't listen to anything or do anything that he was told to do. Never did. What Strother Martin said when Paul Newman rebelled at some point is, what we have here is a failure to communicate. I've experienced communication failures too. I'll bet you have in conversation with somebody or a group of people. You may have been thought that you were talking about the same thing or the same person, but you really weren't. Pam and I have had some conversations like that. She might talk about somebody with a name. We may know two different people by that same name. And she'll be talking about one and I'll be talking to her about the other. And then you have that moment where you stop and think, oh, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same person? The same thing? Are we on the same page? This conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is another example of the failure to communicate, of not being on the same page. Now, granted, when conversations with Jesus happen in the Bible, Jesus can be pretty cryptic in his conversations. Not always real plain in the point that he's trying to get across. He talks in parables. He uses metaphors, allegories, all of those things. It can be darn hard to figure out what Jesus is saying. We might think that we know, but as in this woman's experience, they were talking about different things. In this case, water. The woman was talking and perceived Jesus to be talking about actual physical water, H2O. Jesus was talking about a different kind of water, living water. They are clearly not on the same page. She's not the only one in this story, is she? The disciples aren't on the same page with Jesus either, and often they're not. Jesus and the woman talk about water. The disciples talk about food. Again, not the same type of food that Jesus is talking about. But I give this woman some credit. Actually, a lot of credit. Even though they weren't talking about the same things, understanding what each other was saying in the same way, she doesn't stop and just say, oh, forget it. You ever done that in conversation? Just forget it. She is persistent. She questions Jesus. She digs deeper, trying to understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus turns the conversation to worship. What is the proper way to worship? Where is the proper place to worship? Samaritans believe it's where they are at Jacob's Well on that mountain. The Jews in Jerusalem. It's one of the schisms for those two groups of people. Jesus says it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter where you worship. What matters is that it's the way, and I like this quote from Peterson, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God for worship. Not the proper place, but how you live your life. He advises that worship must be engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That Samaritan woman was pursuing the truth. Didn't just let it go. We are here this morning in worship when we study on our own. Whatever, we are in the pursuit of truth too, God's truth. That's part of the purpose of Lent. To work at the pursuit of truth, we should do that every day. The pursuit of God's truth. To work at getting on the same page with Jesus and the God who sent him to us. It's a lifetime commitment, a lifetime pursuit. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes we're on that same page. Sometimes we're not. In the story last Sunday, John's Gospel reading, it was between a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus just couldn't quite get there, couldn't get on the same page with Jesus, didn't filter through to understanding. He just let it go, didn't pursue it any farther. But this woman did, was persistent, questioning, seeking the truth of God that Jesus brings to us, shows to us. So should we. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.